this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest today is Matthew Friedman, who is one of the lead vocalists and piano players for a terrific show that will be coming to Chicago on the 28th, Moving Out with Billy Joel Music. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. Tell us about the show, because I know it started here in Chicago a few years ago and then went on to tremendous success in New York, and now the tour. So tell us about Moving Out.
Well, Moving Out is a really sort of unique production. It combines fantastic dance choreographed by Twyla Tharp and the unbelievable music of Billy Joel. And Twyla Tharp took characters from Billy Joel's songs and gave them lives of their own and created a storyline about them, which is sort of like a 20-year journey from the 60s to the 80s and how their lives are affected by that.
And that's how they're telling their story through dance and through the music and lyrics, right? There's no dialogue in the show, is it?
Yes, it's basically 99.9% dialogue free. The dancers propel the story and the lyrics sort of tell the story.
Well, it certainly did, and I remember seeing it when they were showcasing it here before they took it to New York. And although there was a few little twinks it needed, I thought it was a very interesting show, and I had the honor of meeting Billy Joel there, and I understand that you have had that honor also.
Yes, I've had the honor. I actually got to play with him and for him at his wedding. Pretty incredible experience.
Yeah.
It also led to me actually getting this production, which is, a fantastic thing.
Well, and you are doing Billy Joel songs, and you're singing you're kind of playing Billy Joel.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, no one can be Billy Joel. I can only hope to, approximate him for the audience. But it is an honor, and, his music is just so much fun to play and such an amazing challenge to play because it really is complex and beautiful music, and I just love doing it every night.
Well, and to keep yourself fresh and to keep your voice going, because I wonder that when I saw the original show, I wondered how anybody could do that show eight shows a week and still keep their voice going.
Well, actually, I only do the show four times a week. I alternate with Darren Holden, who's the other piano man. Darren's actually been on the tour for over 2 years, and I just joined in January of this year. So we alternate. We do four shows a week each, and that's basically how we keep ourselves healthy, because it is really very strenuous. There's a lot of very challenging singing in this show. And it's really harder. It's hard to do more than four shows a week.
But tell us now some of the songs that are in it, because some of the Billy Joel people would love to know, say, hey, what's in the show?
Well, he's got some of his more well-known songs, like Scenes from an Italian Restaurant and Big Shot and, of course, Moving Out. Good Night Saigon, which is one of his most amazing and powerful songs. And some of his lesser-known songs, which are still amazing, like Shameless, which was, I think, actually made famous by Garth Brooks originally on the country circuit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And, that is also another really amazing and powerful song, and I'm glad it actually gets to be heard by a mass audience in this way, because, it really is beautiful.
So you make a strong attempt to sing the songs sort of in his style, but within, your style.
Yeah, I think that it would sort of be, I would almost say, insulting to try to imitate Billy Joel, because there is only one Billy Joel. And really what I just try to do is try to make people at times say themselves, wow, that reminds me of Billy. But it's important to, be yourself and do your own show. And Darren does his own show and I do mine, and they're very different, and they're, I hope, both very entertaining.
Now, when they did the original one that I saw in Chicago before they took it to New York, they had you up high.
We're still up high. Actually, in New York, when the production was there, the stage moved. It was a hydraulic stage. It went down to the floor and up, 20, 25 feet, and it moved throughout the show. On the tour, the stage is stationary but still placed above the dancers, so everyone is on stage at the same time. We're just above the action.
That must have taken you some to get used to that, moving.
It did. I'm no lover of heights, that's for sure, but I'm used to it now, and it is sort of fun to get to look down during the show and watch the dancers do their thing. They are amazing.
Yeah, it is a phenomenal dance show and a lighting show. I mean, it's a real spectacle.
Yeah, the lighting is really amazing and actually award-winning, I believe. It really is incredible. And there's a certain moment in the show that I always love where some very, very bright lights shine on the audience. And they sort of, you know, recoil for a second. And it's sort of entertaining to me to see that, to watch the audience who's so, you know, enraptured by what they're watching then have to shield their eyes a little bit. It just makes me chuckle a little bit while I'm going.
Well, tell us about some of the people that are in the cast, because I understand some of the originals that did it on Broadway for a number of years are on this tour.
Absolutely. Right now we have Elizabeth Parkinson and Lori Kanyok alternating the role of Brenda, and both of them were in the original Broadway cast. Right now the role of Eddie is being played by Ron Todorowski and James Sofranco, also alternating, and I believe both of them also did it on Broadway as well. Many of the performers in the cast were on the original Broadway production and have just come out here on the tour.
Wow, and so this is a show for Billy Joel lovers and for lovers of dance shows.
Absolutely, the dance is really amazing, and when I first came out here, I really didn't know much about it. And I got to watch the show several times and watch these dancers do their thing. And as hard as it is for me to do what I do, I don't know how these dancers walk out of the theater when they're done. What they do is so physically brutalizing to them. And yet they go on night after night, and they just float and fly. And it's an amazing thing to see.
A lot of people have called Moving Out sort of a modern ballet.
I guess that would be true. I like to call it a narrative dance show.
A narrative dance show. That's a good term.
Yeah, I think that sort of encompasses it. The music is the narrative, and the dance propels the story. And I think that's kind of a good way to term it.
Now, are the lyrics of the songs, the way they've selected the songs and in the order are they doing, do the lyrics tell some of the story of what the dancers are dancing or doing on the stage?
Absolutely. And that's part of Twyla Tharp's amazing ability. She took those lyrics and somehow managed to connect them all together and make a story out of it. It's really pretty excellent how she did it.
Yeah, and to me it reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you've ever seen The Joffrey.
I've actually seen The Joffrey one time, but I'm not a dance aficionado. What I've learned about dance, I've learned since I've been out here. So, you know, to me it's just a very original production in and of itself.
Okay, and you really wanted to get in this show.
Yes, I did. I tried for 2.5 years to get this show. When I first heard about it, you know, a friend of mine was the drummer for the original Broadway production, and he suggested that I try out, and he sort of kept my name in the mix. And then I had the very good fortune to play Billy Joel's wedding.
Yeah, tell us that. How you got to do it. I mean, you just don't walk in and say, hey, I'm your wedding band. I mean,
no, it was purely an accident, really. I was doing a jazz session in Coney Island with a bunch of musicians that I had known from the wedding circuit. One of them got a call to do the wedding, to do Billy's wedding. It was for a different band that I typically work for. But he just told the band director, I've got a guy here who should be at this wedding, and they put me on without ever hearing me, without ever seeing me, put me in the band. And, you know, we got to showcase for Billy a week before the wedding, and when Billy heard me, he said he wanted me to do his dinner hour, and that's what happened. I ended up doing the dinner hour solo for all those guests, and, you know, some people from the show were there, including Michael Cavanaugh, who was the original Broadway piano man, and when he heard me do my thing, he started pushing me, and if not for him and his extra push, I honestly wouldn't be.
Well, that's quite an endorsement, because he was tremendous in it.
Michael is unbelievable. Yes. I actually had the, you know, the good fortune of getting to see him a few weeks ago. I was actually under the weather, and they flew Michael out to do a few performances for me in Omaha. And Michael came in here, and he hadn't done it in a while, and it was as if he never left. He is just an amazing, consummate performer.
Well, he did it for several years, didn't he, in New York?
Yeah, he did. He was there from the very beginning. He was there from Chicago, and he was there until the last performance.
Well, is this your first show of this type, where you're doing someone else's material, you know, in a major show, you know, 4 times a week?
This is my first show of any kind. Before I came out here in January, I was a Wall Street attorney.
Is that right?
Absolutely. I was an attorney for 11 years working on Wall Street, you know, going to court, going to the office, carrying the briefcase, wearing the suit, and was doing music on the side. I was in a band with my brothers, and we'd play at little divey clubs in the city, and I would do weddings on the side for a few extra bucks, and was just looking for a way to get out of a law career and into the music career full-time. And
boy, most people go the other way.
Yeah, pretty much. I sort of went the reverse and long route to get where I am, but I really wanted this, and I didn't want to give it up, and I didn't get it my first shot. It took me, you know, 3 auditions to get it, but I wasn't going to give up. I wanted this show.
Well, you know, your testimony to all those people who have nice career. I mean, being a lawyer is not a bad situation. I'm sure you were doing well.
I was doing okay, and, you know, I didn't mind it so much, and it certainly served its purpose, but, you know, the longer I did it, the more I wanted to get out of it and try something else. And when this opportunity came along, it gave me the push I needed to leave the law behind and get into music.
Well, that should give some encouragement to some of our listeners who are in, you know, jobs that, in nice professions that, you know, everyone tells them, you know, don't leave your day job, but that you have to chase your dreams and you
absolutely
have to go after what you want to go, right?
No, absolutely. I was never going to give up on this. Once I heard that this opportunity existed, I just, you know, did everything I could to grab it. And, you know, I had the good fortune of getting it, but, you know, if I had given up after the first audition, you know, I'd still be going to court every day, and I wouldn't be happy about it. But, you know, I didn't give up. I just went for it, and lo and behold.
So you're never too young or never too old to do what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And you know, as hokey as that is, so many young kids, they feel they're trapped in whatever.
I understand that. And I've actually spoken to a lot of kids, a lot of high school students over the course of this tour. We try to set up some, you know, educational opportunities for them to come down to the theater and to talk to us. The show does that, I love talking to them and telling them, you know, how I was involved in, you know, in music and drama in high school and college, and but went the professional route, but never wanted to give up on the dream. And when that opportunity comes, you have to grab it.
Yeah, and you did, and you didn't look back.
No, and I don't intend to look back either.
That is true. And so you're with this tour now for how long? Most of the tours are what? You sign on for like 6 months or a year?
Signed until October, but, you know, I've been told hopefully I'll be here until the tour is over. So I hope they're happy with me. I'm having, you know, a great time, and we're about to go on a 6-week tour in Japan. And really looking forward to that. I've never been there, and it should be great.
So you're getting used to the life on the road?
Yeah, I'm getting used to it. It's not an easy life, but it is a lot of fun, and I love the people that I work with, which makes it, you know, very easy. I love the band. I love the dancers. Everyone in the production has made it a very easy and excellent transition.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me ask you this. When you move from city to city, I know the venues change. How much of an adjustment? Tell us about how that works. I mean, you got this big dance show. You guys are set up ahead of them, and you have a ton of lighting cue. I mean, there's a lot involved here.
Actually, you know, the real superstars of this show are the crew. I really do not comprehend how they do what they do, but somehow they build this entire stage. You know, everything you see on that stage travels with the show, and they build it all in 10 hours, and they tear it down in 5, and they do it in every town, never a problem. These guys are just amazing, and I, you know, it has to be seen to be believed.
And of course, the how about the size of the venues? Like, you're going to play the Auditorium Theater, which is that's a large house. Well, I don't know if you've ever been here.
No, I've been to Chicago once, okay, many, many years ago, and it wasn't to play.
Yeah, and it but when you, it's like seats like 4,000.
Wow.
And it was, I think, Sullivan the Architect's dream. It was the first theater that had air conditioning, and the first one had electric lights, like over 100 years old.
Well, I'm refreshed to hear that there'll be air conditioning in there, because it gets hot in that stage sometimes.
Yeah, oh yeah. But this is one, I mean, you talk about selling out, you know, projecting to the second balcony.
Yeah, the sound guys are amazing, too. They make sure that everyone in that audience from the first row to the last row is going to hear it perfectly. And, you know, I actually have had occasion to sit in the last row and watch the show, and it always sounds great from there. So.
Isn't it amazing how good the sound is? Because that's one of the things I pointed out when it first came through here to Chicago. So many shows, you know, they just have the sound too loud.
And that's, you know, I give credit to the sound guys who do this show. They study each venue when they get there. They do a very full and detailed sound check when they get there, and they make sure that when the audience is hearing this, they're not going to be blown out of the auditorium, but they're going to hear the music the way it should be heard.
Well, and you're the principal vocalist, right?
Yes,
I am. You don't have to scream over the music.
Yeah, they make it easy for me, really. Yeah. I mean, I have great sound up there on stage. We have in-ear monitors that feed the sound directly to us, and it's I wouldn't say it's easy to sing, but it's certainly easier than it could be.
Well, I mean, the lyrics are so. I was never a big Billy Joel fan. He was one of those, I was always in more of the Broadway and more of the classical stuff, but you always knew it. And then when I came to this show, I said, wow, you talk about showcasing a great artist.
Well, he's a poet. Really is. As much as he's a great musician and a great piano player, he is a poet. And, when you listen to those words, especially on songs like, Good Night Saigon, I think that, honestly, that song is the best representative work to talk about the Vietnam War experience. It puts you there. And a lot of his songs have that effect of putting you in the situation that he's singing about. And
they create those tremendous moods.
Right. And I think that's why the show works as well as it does, because, he really is such a great writer.
And of course, he's creating these moods with the lyrics and with the music. And then the dancers are acting it out on stage.
Yeah, and they really do. And it's amazing how much storytelling they can do with just moving and not speaking. I mean, they really tell the story in every way they move their hand and every facial expression and every jump. It's just they really, tell thousands of words in those moves.
Well, one of the side benefits of a show like Moving Out and Contact before it was it introduces people that movement can tell stories, which is really ballet. It kind of, you guys are kind of showcasing, ballet that people think is boring.
Well, there's nothing boring about this dancing. I mean, when you watch it, it is, high voltage, high energy, really exciting stuff. And these dancers are so acrobatic and so strong. I mean, when you watch them do what they do, you'll just be blown away.
Oh, yeah. People don't think dancers like this are athletes. I think they're better than most of the athletes in professional sports.
They're better than any athletes I've ever met.
Yeah.
They're just amazing.
And they must be fun to hang around with, too.
Well, they are definitely fun to hang around. They all have great personalities and very different personalities, and they're just a blast. I really have enjoyed every minute of hanging around with them and becoming friends with them. It's been great.
Okay, and so you're going to be here in Chicago from June 28th, I'm looking at my notes here, to July 9th.
Correct.
At the Auditorium Theater. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to this show, because when we saw it, we saw it way before Broadway, and we kind of critiqued the show, and we made suggestions that we found out that our suggestions they did to tighten the show up before they took it to New York.
Yeah, I think I have you have to give Twyla Tharp a lot of credit for that, because, a lot of people when they have a vision of a show, they have it in their heads and they're not really willing to listen to what anyone else might suggest. And I think that, to Twyla's credit, she did. And, made this show work. I mean, I did not see it when it was in its embryonic stages in Chicago. So I am only familiar with it from when it got to New York and when basically all the final changes had been made. But from what I understand, she did a fantastic job of tightening it up and making it work even better.
Well, that's a sign of a real pro, especially in a musical. It's a combined effort of a lot of creative people. And, there's one theory that says the show is never complete.
Well, that's true. I mean, I try to do a different and better show every night when I'm singing. I try to, do something a little different and, a little stronger and a little better every night.
And how do you keep your vocals going? Is there big warm-ups you do? Or because a lot of people think that, they almost think like it's records. Like, well, that's easy. You just get up and sing. Well, there's a lot more to it.
Well, I've had the very good fortune in my life of having a very elastic and recuperative voice that I could just sing as much as I want. However, I've never been in a situation where I've been singing as much and as intensely as I'm doing now. And I found that, I've had to start warming up a little bit before shows. I do a 45-minute warm-up before a show to get myself ready. I drink a lot of tea, and I stay very quiet on the days that I don't perform. But it really hasn't been much of a problem. I had one little hiccup a few weeks ago. Like I said, I had a little laryngitis, and that was a little scary. But I sang last night here in Salt Lake, and it was a great show. I was real happy with it. And you know, luckily, and knocking on wood, my voice is held up really well.
What's been the reaction of audiences in the various venues, and how does it vary? I mean, Salt Lake City, certainly a different audience than, let's say, Boston. I think you played Boston, didn't
you?
Yeah,
we did. Surprisingly, the Salt Lake City audience, at least surprisingly to me, was extremely enthusiastic about this show.
Wow. Because this show's a bit sensual, and, you know, it's
there's a little risque subject matter in this show that, you know, I worried an audience here might not want to see, but you know what? They really loved it. They've really taken to it, and they are very enthusiastic about it, and that makes us happier. You know, that makes us want to perform, you know, even better for them. I think all the audiences have been pretty good. You know, I really haven't seen a bad audience anywhere. So,
how long does it take you to feel the audience? I know I've talked to actors that they can sense an audience, you know, before the curtain goes up, before the lights come up.
That is definitely true. When the lights go down, you know what kind of audience you're going to have. If you hear a little, you know, a little roar of applause before you start, you know you've got an enthusiastic audience. If you hear nothing, you know it's going to be a tense night, and you have to win them over. And you know, luckily, you know, this production is good enough and the people are good enough that we've done a pretty good job winning the people over, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, because we weren't sure when it first came out, shows like this, other than Contact, there hadn't really been shows like this, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely different, and I certainly hadn't seen anything like this show when I saw it for the first time. And actually, the first time I saw it, I didn't know what to make of it. So,
well, we didn't. Like I said, I thought it had minor problems that they've adjusted, but I thought the concept was brilliant.
Well, the concept really does work, and again, that's to Twyla's credit. She's just an amazing visionary person.
Did Billy Joel do any new arrangements for this, or because I don't know his music that well, but it seemed to me that most of the songs I heard Kavanaugh do really sounded, you know, they were very similar in arrangements to the original hit.
They are really very similar. There were some very, very minor changes made in some lyrics just to make them fit the storyline a little bit better, and some of the songs have been a little condensed for time. There were a couple of changes, though. We Didn't Start the Fire became a much heavier rockin' song. And as did Pressure. Pressure is now, I think, twice as fast as it was in the original.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's really a challenge to play and sing at that speed. So, but other than those two major exceptions, the songs are pretty true to what you've heard on the record.
Okay, and could you give us just a quick little summary of what's going on? I mean, we know it's dance, we know it's Billy Joel music, and what would you call the theme?
Well, basically, the storyline itself is the story of five friends growing up in the 60s. You know, Vietnam comes along and separates the men from the women, and some of the men make it and some of them don't. And when they get back to civilization, they have a hard time dealing with it and with each other. And basically, it's a story of finding yourself after that kind of disruption in your life and finding redemption and love. And that's really what the story is.
That's a great summary.
Oh, thank you.
That's how I remember it. And of course, that's my era.
Well, yeah, so, I was born at the end of the Vietnam War, but believe it or not, I lived on Fort Benning Army Base in Georgia during the early 70s. Well, and my dad was in the Army at that time, and I was not unaware of it even when I was 3 and 4 years old of what was going on. It did make an impression.
Well, it almost has resonance to what's going on today.
Yeah, it's very relevant, especially in light of what is going on today with what's going on in Iraq. And hearing the stories of these soldiers disappearing and never to be seen again, and disruptions in the lives of family, and hopefully people will be able to find peace and happiness after this is all over, and hopefully it will end.
Wow, great. So you're in Chicago June 28th to July 9th. Where do you go after Chicago?
After Chicago, actually, the production goes on a short break for 2 weeks, and then we head right over to Japan.
Oh, then you're heading right over.
Yeah.
Oh, very, very interesting. Well, I'm sure as they do the Google searches, and that a lot of people in Japan will listen to this podcast to figure out what's coming, and I think they're going to get excited because the Japanese are a great audience for American musicals.
Yeah, I've been told, and I really hope they like it. I'm really looking forward to going over there and playing for them. I've always wanted to go to Japan, and again, it's sort of a dream of mine, just like the show was a dream of mine. you know, to get to travel over there and see it for that long and perform for the people there is just going to be amazing.
Yeah, it should be good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there on the opening night.
Great.
And be doing a review of it. And are you going to be playing on the 28th?
I'm actually not playing the 28th. Okay. I play the 29th matinee. That'll be my first show.
You're saying each of you have a little slightly different take on the music.
Oh, definitely. And again, that's just a function of what kind of musicians we are and what kind of music we listen to, you know, growing up and how we perform.
Yeah, so, and you know, and you don't want everyone to sound alike. That wouldn't
definitely
work
not. You don't want everybody to be a clone of each other. I think that an audience likes it when you do a little bit of your own thing in there, and they get to see who you are when you're doing Billy Joel's music. I think they really like that.
Yeah, it certainly came off that way when we saw Kavanaugh do it. And
well, I love watching Kavanaugh. I've literally seen him do the show, you know, at least a dozen times. So you know, I never get tired of it.
But, well, we're looking forward to you doing it, and I really appreciate you spending this time with me, and knock on wood, break a leg when you come to Chicago.
It was a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And, folks, go see Moving Out. You'll enjoy it. Thank you.
You got it.